We thank you, our strong tower, wherein we run to take refuge when the tempest begins to rage. We thank you for beginning to introduce your sovereign hand into the affairs of the nations. We see the effect of this beast receding. And we believe that with its receding will come a revival of your spirit among the nations of the world that will occasion a renewal, a change, and that will facilitate the migration of men from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. We ask that you equip us as a people to confront the challenges that abound with spiritual responsibility, and indeed grant that the least among our numbers will become as strong as David. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Job chapter 32, as we attempt to continue from where we stopped yesterday. Job chapter 32. If you go to even on WhatsApp, in social media groups, on Facebook, you're going to find endless theories about the 5G and coronavirus and all kinds of stuff. Now, it is in your interest for you to be fed with the truth, because the lie will always create anxiety. And anxiety is a wonderful platform that invites the spirit of fear. It is obvious that the spirit of fear across the nations is broken. And God is at work, and we are going to see the hand of God more intense in the coming days. In Job chapter 32, from verse 8, which is my verse of interest, the Bible says, this is the statement of Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite. He was the one that said that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. At the heart of the life of faith of every believer is a certain divinely orchestrated understanding that forms the bedrock of our belief system. Now, so Elihu struck at the heart of the matter of faith, because the Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that the things that are seen were not made of things that do appear. It is the understanding that comes to you by faith that is the bedrock of your faith life. For every individual that is highlighted in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 about faith, there was an underlying back-end understanding that God furnished that became the reason for the works of faith that their lives produced. So Elihu said, everyone that is man has a spirit. And the only source of inspiration that brings accurate understanding, reinforcing understanding, upon which our faith life can be built, is the Spirit of God. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. It is at the point of inspiration that understanding comes to you. And it is understanding that is the back end of the operation of faith in your life. In order for us to develop our faith life, I like to spend a little time on this kind of understanding that I'm talking about. We saw it in the life of Abraham yesterday, and we saw that the reason for which Abraham was able to give Isaac out for sacrifice, even though it was already determined by God that he was going to be Abraham's heir, and everything that was hanging on him suggested that if Abraham will have a future beyond his life, then that guy will have to be alive. And God was requesting that Isaac be offered as a sacrifice. The reason why Abraham did not object was because he had an understanding. So we are trying to look at the chemistry of the understanding that God furnishes on the heart of men, which is the lifeline of their faith life. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration giveth them what? I told you my story, and my story was that there was some money I had in the bank, and because there was a need for us to purchase the land that we are in today, or land that we are on today, God made a request for me to empty my bank account and to make it available so that we could pay for the land. And it happens to be that what I had was exactly half of what was required for the land. And the reason for which I was even saving the fund was so that I could marry, since it was obvious that because of my spiritual ways, my charismatic ways, my life was somewhat strange in our family, and most of my uncles did not seem to understand the mode of life I've decided to begin to live. And the interpretation of that is that they are not likely to be favorably disposed towards me if I had a project in mind. And so I was saving that money so that I could do my wedding. And the great one now says, you have to give it up because there's something superior to your wedding that is a kingdom need at the moment. Your wedding can wait, but this project cannot wait. Well, you know, I told God that, is it compulsory that we obey everything? Let it be on record that this is the one that I decided to disobey. A man of faith can disobey a few. This is one of such that needs to be resisted. Now, the reason why I eventually gave was because I was seeing what God was demanded. The impressions were so strong. The scriptures that were coming and being laid upon my heart was touching that which God wanted me to do. I eventually did it without, and I was sad that I did it because I felt God bullied me. See, the reason why I was feeling that way was because I had not yet gotten an inspiration. It was when we now went for the wedding and we discovered that someone showed up before we arrived, and the guy that showed up, a relative of my wife, asked for the entire cost of the wedding, and the amount was given to him. He paid for the entire wedding. And then at the end of the wedding, there were two other things that happened. I was born with facial palsy. There was this doctor that attended the wedding from the United States, an ophthalmologist. She looked at my eyes and said, no, I need to do a surgery on your eyes and correct one or two things here. So I got a free surgery from an expert. And it is because that surgery took place that I can do TV ministry today. The second miracle I had was that we were given a fully air-conditioned vehicle that you are aware of how I used to horn everywhere in the market and in the filling station. It was when we now came back from the wedding that inspiration now came. You see, there's no understanding without inspiration. The inspiration now came, and the inspiration that came actually, because God took me through the way I fought before I gave, and then the outcome of my wedding, which was the reason for which I was saving. He took me through the whole picture, the whole drama, and then he left a scripture. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which you can ask or think. Now, what stuck to my heart was God is able. That's the understanding that I got. So the next time God showed up and God now said, give again, because that software, God is able, was still running on my heart, it was easy for me to respond to God's call to give, because that understanding I got from the last experience was still heavily at work upon my heart. You see, the inspiration that came, which resulted in the understanding of the fact that God is able, are you here? It has become the foundation of a higher walk with God in terms of a fully satisfied understanding of God's ability. And whenever God begins to speak to me or there is a demand for me to do something, I know that God is able. And you will not know except you get an understanding. And it is at the point of understanding that, you know, the possibility for you to run smoothly with God is initiated. So behind every great faith adventure is the impartation of understanding that comes through the instrumentality of inspiration. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I can't hear you. I say hallelujah. There is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty. Give them what? Now let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll take a few examples of several men of faith, and then we are going to try to trace that understanding. Because if without that understanding, you cannot walk in faith. You will accuse God like I did. You will say, well, it is because God is stronger than you, that's why he wants to bully you. Those are the kind of blasphemies that you will begin to produce, begin to give forth, if there is no understanding. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, are you with me? I'd like us to see a few things. The Bible says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. We're trying to trace the understanding. Let us take a case study of Noah. By faith, Noah being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Hallelujah. Now, I would like us to carefully look at the symptom of Noah's faith. Because, are you with me? What God told Noah was that he was coming to bring judgment upon the face of the earth. Alright? Now, maybe Noah by some means had tried to pacify God by begging God, pleading with God, and all of that. We don't know how much of pleading Noah brought to the table in order to get God to change his mind. But all of that did not work. That means there was the sovereignty of God was at work. That means God had decided on what he wanted to do, and he was going to do it. You see, there are several times as an intercessor you are trying to get God to shift his position. And in your dealings with him, you are going to see sometimes it is impossible for you to get God to shift his position, because God has already concluded that matter, and your further intercession was not going to change his mind on the matter. So what God did was that God now said, alright, since I'm going to destroy the world and I know you are down there, I'm going to give you a salvation strategy. So in the days of Noah, salvation was equivalent to being in the ark. Since I'm not going to change my mind and you happen to be my friend, I'm going to give you a salvation formula. Salvation formula is construct an ark. The very thing that will bring judgment to the world, that will destroy the world, is going to raise you up if you are in that ark. I would like us to see the way Noah now went to construct the ark. What his motivation? How was his motivation? Fear. He was moved with fear. The fear with which Noah was moved with was the expression of his faith. You know, those days, we were taught that the opposite of faith is fear. The impact of what God did to Noah was that he was moved with fear. His motivation to construct the ark was a motivation of fear. Not the kind of fear that has torment, but the kind of fear that is rooted in the fact that God will not change his mind. The understanding that is underlying in Noah's faith experience was an understanding of a God that will not change his mind. Therefore, he was moved with fear to construct the ark. There is an underlying understanding that God gives, which is the motivation, which is the strategy, which makes it possible for an individual to walk in faith. As long as you do not have that understanding, it will be difficult for you to exercise faith in several areas of your life. I was talking to somebody on the phone, and the person was saying, in my mom's family, the ladies, nobody ever pays bride price for the ladies in my mom's family. In fact, my mom and my dad eloped to somewhere, and then they had us. And the moment my dad was now trying to go back and pay the bride price, a terrible problem rose up, which is still on until this present day. And then she now gave me an account also of her father's side and how the family framework is in total disarray. And then she went further to say, well, even if she's not able to marry, she just wants to serve God. And that's a wrong understanding. She was able to draw up an understanding from the events that have happened in the past. And that's what the devil does. He bends your mind. He bends your mind to use circumstances as a basis of the understanding that will run your life. And I know that if I did not stop that lady, and she was trying to make decisions based on an understanding that was not on the basis of the Word of God, so she was not inspired by the Holy Spirit to have that understanding. But she was going to walk in the light of that understanding nonetheless, even though it was not God that gave her that understanding. You don't know how powerful understanding is. So powerful. She had already concluded in the light of that understanding that marriage may not be her portion. So now let's do God's work. I said, Kai, that's not the way God operates. Then I began to open her mind. In order for her to walk out of that defeat. Are you with me? In terms of money, she doesn't have a money problem. She's okay. But you see, an understanding has crippled an aspect of her life. And if we are going to unravel that aspect of her life, we need to destroy that understanding. Hallelujah. I hope you know, before generational curses began to find expression through family lines, God, the generational blessings are superior to generational curses. Because the first thing God did in the Garden of Eden was that he blessed man and said, be thou fruitful and be thou and multiply. And I don't see us talking so much about generational blessings. And as long as I'm in league with God, irrespective of the curses that are in my family, if I walk with God, God is going to ensure that those curses will not have an effect on my life, for God's sake. It's not as if you will not go through process. You will go through process because the devil will want to throw those curses on your life. It is your walk in faith that will produce a season that is different from the pattern that your family members have been experiencing. So I had to destroy that understanding. As you counsel with people, try to find out what understanding is the basis upon which the devil has conveniently released them into bondage. And they have accepted it. And because they have accepted it, there is nothing you can do about their situation until you puncture that understanding. Understanding is the fuel upon which life is lived, either negatively or positively. The person is convinced to believe that because her mother had this experience, it may be that her own experiment may not be too different from what her mother has had. And as long as the understanding is in place, that is going to be the outcome. So we had to fight that understanding. We had to fight it in order for her to be willing to consider something outside of that box to become her possibility. Are you still with me? By faith, the Bible says, we understand. So the first thing that the devil is going to attack in your faith life, because I'll really begin to teach about the faith thing from tomorrow. I introduced something very quiet, which we did not notice yesterday. But I'll have to make us notice it because it is critical. It's a critical nerve in the life of faith. It's a very critical nerve in the life of faith. I introduced it yesterday, but it's obvious we'll not have time to be able to reintroduce it. So today, maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Now, so if God wants to help you, what he does is that he gives you an understanding, true inspiration. If the devil wants to attack you, what he attacks is the understanding that God has given you. If he attacks that understanding and is able to get you to get to convince you to depart from that understanding that God has given you, the devil has done damage on your faith life. Luke chapter 22 verse 31, which is the scripture I was struggling to introduce yesterday. Luke 22 verse 31. Are you there? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. There is a way Satan intends to deal with Simon. He didn't intend to put a heavy weight on Simon. He didn't intend to give him a heavy blow. Jesus discerned the devil's intention and the devil's style. Right? The style Satan was intending to implement on Simon's life was captured in the revelation. Simon, Simon! Satan has desired to have you. You know, the devil is not given the right to create. If the devil was given the creation mold, that mold by which God created, and he created a few people, this world would have been a strange place. People that Satan created. But he wasn't given that privilege. So what he does is that he borrows people and uses them. So he now saw how strategic Simon was. And he said, for a long time now, Satan has passed by. He will look at you and say, oh, if I can get this one. Because Satan has desired. And the desire was not, it's an ancient thing. Satan has desired. We have seen Satan many times pass by your corridor with a terrible desire. And the desire was that he wants to have you. And if he eventually does get to have you, and there are many pressures that Satan can bring around your life just because he wants to have you. He wants you and him to be on the same page, even if it's just momentarily. He wants to have you. He has decided that it will be in the interest of the advancement of his possibilities on earth for him to have you on his side. It's been a long, long, long time desire that he has entertained. Satan wants to have you. And that was not the end of the revelation. If the revelation had ended there, it would have been, that alone would have been a wake-up call to a spiritual man. But he said, it's not just for him to have you. There is an intention that Satan has. After that, he succeeds in having you. He wants to sift you. And just in case you are confused about the kind of sifting, because there are different kinds of sifting. There's the sifting of guinea corn. There's the sifting of millet. There's a sifting of rice. But the type, the type Satan has decided, concluded to use on your own case is to sift you like wheat. We need to find out, what does it mean for a man to be sifted like wheat? Those of you that have farmed rice before, you will understand how rice is harvested. There's an instrument called a sickle. And what a sickle does is that it removes the rice from its stem. If you study faith, if you study the anatomy of faith, we find out that the root, the stem of faith is in that understanding that God gives you. And the devil will do anything to attack it, because as long as you retain that understanding, it will be easy for you to respond to God along that line. Are you with me? It will be very easy for you to respond to God because of what God did, and then the inspiration that came, which was a sum total of God's sovereign divine intervention in my life around the corridor of my wedding. The sum total of it was that God is able. As long as I'm armed with that in my heart. And you see, the fact that you take the Bible, maybe you take the scriptures and you open to where that verse is and you read it, is not understanding to you. Because that understanding is a result of an inspiration. It's organic. Just like the way your hair grows. That's how that understanding came. Naturally. Spiritually, naturally. Through inspiration. If there is no inspiration in your heart to furnish something, you don't have understanding of it yet. Because the only procedure by which you can get understanding is that there is an inspiration from the Almighty. That is the root upon which your faith life is based. We went for a crusade some time ago, and there was a charm. So when somebody came and submitted the charm, vibrant preachers of the gospel, when we're trying to destroy the charm, and many vibrant men that I know that they know God, they were afraid of the charm. Now, don't be too hard on them. They don't have any understanding about that kind of dealing. Your faith life is rooted in what? In an understanding. Meanwhile, many years ago, when I was a little lad, I had many attacks from the devil. And I knew God as a little lad. So, I used to see terrible dreams, beasts, blood flowing. In my dreams were terrible, until that night when I was 13 years old, that I saw the likeness of four angels. Then I knew that they that are for us are more than they that are against us, because I saw the battles that the angels fought. The battles lasted for 8 hours. The demons that came to fight, for which the angels defended me, wanted my soul. They wanted to kill. They wanted me to die. It was those angels that fought for my deliverance. In fact, the angels took me and kept me somewhere in heaven, and then went to fight. I was watching them when they fought, and in human time, the fight took 8 hours. That was when it dawned on me as a little child that they that are for us are more than they that are for them. And that understanding was there. So when we went to destroy charms, people that didn't have understanding, the charm separated understanding less people from people that had understanding. Meanwhile, those people that did not have understanding in these matters, they had understanding in other matters. So a man of faith can be impotent in an aspect of his life just because there's no understanding there. And if the devil wants you to lose the ground that you have, what he does is that he has a plan, first of all, to have you. There is a moment. As long as the devil cannot have you, he cannot sift you. There is a sequence. He wants to have you. Then when he does really gets to have you, then he sifts you. Even though there are different types of sifting, the one he will give you is the wheat type. He will sift you like wheat. The way you are born in now, you are too hot. The devil can't. He will be desiring. That's the best he can do. But his desire is to have you. And there are many ways that the devil eventually gets to have that which, that person that he never created. But he has him. We went to cast out devils somewhere. And after casting out devils, everybody went home. And then when I got home, the spirit was waiting for me at home. And the spirit said to me, because the spirit was a big spirit. It was, I don't know what to call it. I don't have a name for it. Because God has not defined it. So I don't want to call it something that it may not. But this, I can describe the spirit. It's as tall as this roof here. And he was looking at me from above. And the eyes were like the eyes of a cat. It was looking evil, devilish. It was looking wicked beyond repair. Hallelujah. We used to cast out devils on the field. So when I came back and I saw it, I knew its size was nothing. I began to pray in tongues. I noticed I prayed for like 35 minutes and it didn't move. And then when he wanted to speak, he did not open his mouth. He just spoke through his thoughts. And I picked what he was saying. He spoke into my thoughts. And he said, if we get you, that means he wants to have me. He has been seeing me around in the village. And anytime I pass close to his vicinity, he said, hey, I will have this one. Oh, Jesus. I will have this one. He said, if we ever get you. So what Anan said to the spirit was, why not get me now? What happened? Why are you waiting? Hallelujah. He came back 9 years later. I've told you that when you fight with the devil, don't go and throw away your watch. Buy a new battery for the watch. Because Satan will come back. He came back 9 years later when I was working in Lagos. How did he come back? There is a lady that used to sell perfume in the office where I was working. According to her, it's perfume, she says. She's naked with perfume. Naked with perfume. And it's only me she comes to sell perfume to. Satan will come with his products. And if by any means any of his products resonate with the signature on your soul. You see, a remote control, a sharp remote control cannot work on Panasonic. When you bring, even if the remote control is so bogus, so big and effective, and you bring it on Panasonic, it will have no relationship. But if by any means there is communication and compatibility, it means that it is possible to change a channel. Maybe you are on channel Holy Ghost. There is a possibility to change it from channel Holy Ghost to another channel. It can become channel fornication. From Holy Ghost channel, it goes to channel 23, which is fornication. So he was looking for an occasion to have me. So I now told the lady that if she has noticed me in this office, I don't use perfume. And I'm not thinking of changing my mind. You know what happened? She changed the product that she wants to sell. If perfume is not Satan, he does what? He has an intention to have you. I know you are not aware, but there are some. Oh, you will now say, oh, this guy, you are superstitious. There are some perfumes that some people wear. You will need strength to locate where your soul is. Because when you are trying to find your soul, you will not see it. You will need strength to locate your soul. You will need strength to locate your soul. The whole, and you see, that office, I am not the only occupant of the office. There's another government official in that office. We share the office from two different government agencies. That's where we are. And then anytime the lady comes, I'm the only one that is always around. And nobody goes to give her information that when I began to put one or two together, her timing is always right. And when she comes into the place, the thing she wears is saturates the whole place here. And then she comes with a product. And the product many times is so small that you will design another product that is on display. May the Lord give you understanding. The real product, the one she comes to sell is so small and negligible. And the moment the sharp remote control finds compatibility, it will what? It will change the channel. It will change the channel. I knew I was under attack. The day I knew I was under attack, I didn't take it seriously until I went home and we prayed because some brethren were staying with me. I don't stay alone. That's my secret. When I'm posted and I'm out of the home, I will go and look for brethren in that town. You are in need of our accommodation. I can see it. The way you are, I'm seeing that you need a place. You need a place the way I'm seeing you. then I take them in, and anything you want, you will have, as long as you are staying with me. If it's chicken, oh wait, you want chicken? No problem. We'll go and look for chicken. So I don't stay alone. Because if Satan is looking for you and you are alone, he will change the channel. So I don't stay alone. So the brethren that stay with me, we normally pray. So when we prayed, I went to sleep. And in my sleep, I saw that same lady in my sleep. When a lady in the natural started appearing in your sleep, it means you are not alone. So I knew I was under attack. So the first thing I did was that I took a fast, which is that recommendation came from Jesus, because Jesus was going to the wilderness to be tested. He was not going there to fast. He decided to take a fast to go for the test. And he arrived at the venue of the test before the tester. So I said, all right. I took a fast and I began to pray. And I began to pray. When I began to pray, 7 days of the fast, the lady stopped coming. The intention to sell products, it changed. It changed. It's as if she has a barometer by which she measures the possibilities before she shows up. And when I had that victory, I said, glory to God. I thought it had finished. Ah! That's when you will discover that somebody you knew in school 12 years ago, you will meet the person in Ojoelegba. The reason is not because you are meeting people. Satan wants to have you. And for a period of 1 year, I was just meeting people. In fact, are you with me? I came to Makurdi. When I came to Makurdi, I went for Maopai Crusade. I remember those days when I was on campus. There is a lady that used to tell me that she believes that I'm her wife, I'm her husband. So I said, me, I don't believe. And she said she believed. I said, okay, may the Lord help you. So I was able to wiggle from finish school and escape. And then I came back 5 years later and said I wanted to go and attend the crusade, Umar Pai's crusade. As I entered, you know how busy that place is? When I look around like this, it was the lady that was. You see, in the days where Satan wants to sift you, people will find you. Even in Ojoelegba, you don't know. Go to Lagos, ask for Ojoelegba. If somebody takes your purse in Ojoelegba, don't look for it. You will not find it. The crowd is massive. And on a crusade ground, it was Umar Pai Crusade. It's been long since that venue has been filled like that. The lady appeared. So what I did was that I just frowned. I pretended as if I didn't know her. So I frowned. When she saw that I frowned, she couldn't talk, and I did not talk, so she ran away. The next day, I was coming home. You know, I don't stay alone. I always stay with you. The next day, I was coming home. Somebody had located the guest somewhere, brought her to our house, and was doing something like counseling. So when I came into the door, I said, come on, get up! I drove. May you survive the days when Satan wants to have you. Do you know 5 years later in this town, that lady came and told me that I believe now that God called you. Don't leave God. That a renowned specialist in the ways of the Marine Corps came and preached to me and said, this God you are following by, follow him to the end. Follow him. I said, hallelujah. 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 Satan wants to have you. So, glory to God, he didn't succeed to have me. So the other 15 parts didn't take place. But if Satan eventually has you, then he will now unleash the second protocol, which is to sift you. It's that understanding he wants to take away. And when he takes that understanding away, Jesus made a statement. Yeah, go on. Where are you with my scripture? He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. See, in the sifting business, in Satan's sifting agenda, the attack of that sifting agenda is your faith. And the reason for which Satan wants to attack your faith is to bring your faith to a point where it fails. Those of you that drive know what brake failure is. Those of you that have studied something in clinicals, in medicine, you know what heart failure is. Then there's another thing called faith failure. We need to start with brake failure first. Let's understand the concept of brake failure. Then understand the concept of heart failure. Then it will be easy for you to know what Jesus meant when he said faith can fail. Faith, it can fail when you are sifted. That ground of your understanding has been sapped. And if you go forth, you will be going forth like something, as at other times, you will not know that the power of that understanding, which is supposed to be an impartation of the Spirit of God to give you the ability to believe and to act based on that which you have believed, has been damaged. He say, I prayed for you, because the sifting initiative of Satan is against your faith. It's against your faith. And Satan wants your faith to fail. I hope you are aware that brake failure will take place and you will not know. You will still be driving the car. It is when there is a risk and you want the brake to come to the rescue that you will discover that brake you are calling is not in view. It's always at a time where there is a risk factor that you will discover. You are likely to discover that there is brake failure. For where are the medical people? I know that someone that has a cardiac situation will not know until there's a circumstance of risk. And then the heart is supposed to behave in a certain way. Then suddenly it is discovered that the heart doesn't have the capacity to behave that way. And the inability for the heart to behave in that way will endanger the person's hold on life. So when we are talking about brake failure, don't trivialize it and say, when we are talking about faith failure. Because some time ago, someone that was previously not trustworthy wanted to do something, and everybody was saying, yes, let's allow him to do it. And I said, no, I'm not convinced. And then the person now said, just accept by faith. Just agree by faith. Then I now opened the scripture and showed the person that faith fails too. Faith can fail. And it's at the time of risk. Just like the brake will fail at the time of risk, the faith normally fails at the time of risk. And in this entire process, Jesus did not pray for Satan not to have Peter. Jesus did not pray for Satan not to sift Peter. Jesus only prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. Why? Satan wanted to have Peter. Jesus didn't pray. Because what made Satan to eventually have Peter is Peter that created the atmosphere for Satan to find a place of activity. Do you understand? You are not here. Oh, you saw the way I was battling. You will be the one to create a premise for the devil's activity around your life. If I had yielded to what was happening, or I did not pray about it, and you know the thing is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit, it will subdue your strong will. It will subdue it. It's a spiritual thing. It's not orchestrated from emotions. The target might be on your emotions, but the substance of what is at work is not your emotions. It's spiritual. And if you try to engage it from the standpoint of your strong will, you have made a mistake that you will regret. In fact, Satan wants you to try to resist him from your will. Then he will teach you. He will teach you that spiritual things are superior to the things of the soul. If Satan has you, it is because you created a ground of the flesh for him to act. Right? If Satan eventually sees you like wheat, it's because he already has you. So that one is a chain reaction. That's the direct thing that will happen because Satan was able to have you. But Jesus said, I prayed for you that what? That your faith fail not. That means in the protocol of sifting you, there is a risk that is going to come. That is your faith that is going to be the break. That risk point is where your faith failure will give, will produce a disaster. And Jesus said, I'm praying for you. Do you know that no matter how much damage Satan has done on your life, maybe your health has been compromised and several aspects of your life have been compromised, do you know that if God inspires the same understanding that the devil has punctured, if a fresh inspiration along the line of the same understanding wakes up in your heart, God has multiplied your capacity. So the direction of the prayer of Jesus was so that the faith will not fail. How many of you were already in Satan's hand? But there was something that God forgot on your heart many years ago. He forgot it there. It was the basis of some understanding, and God inspired that understanding, and that your response to that understanding is the reason why you are still here today. So if God wants to, even if Jesus wants to ensure that you escape the enemy's trap, it is on the ground of your faith. And the thing about your faith that the devil wants to evacuate immediately is the understanding that is the reinforcement behind your faith life. Every attack of the devil is designed to hit you at that point. It's below the belt. And then you are crippled. And then there's no hope anymore. And it's at the position of risk. And then your faith is supposed to rise to the occasion. And if the faith has failed, it will be deflated. I pray today that Corona and all the people that have become evangelists for Corona, even we have seen pastors these days that are telling, they have a platform where they report how many people died for the day. That's his job. Now that we're on lockdown, there's no work again. So his own work now is 2 died in Indonesia. 14 died in Iran. So he will do the compilation, and before evening he will be faithful to send it. May your faith fail not in the name of Jesus. I've seen that there are platforms like that, and maybe some of you have lent yourself, your instrument, your mobile phone is now Corona phone, because you look for information. Say, okay, this is the most secure. This professor of this university spoke about Corona. This is, right? I told you it's a distraction. If you have been doing that, you have been wasting those days. Because the same days you were using to become a Corona evangelist, the kind of encounters, intercessors across the world have been receiving in this time, you will know that what God is doing is not Corona. God is doing something else. God is trying to initiate a revival. Our time, our window is short. And the glorious church is soon to emerge. What we are doing is Corona. Hallelujah. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. It came to pass many years ago where 5 of us, and these 5, we used to pray in a certain city in this country. We used to pray, and we prayed for almost a year with fasting and prayer. And we're asking God to bring revival on a certain community. And that was the reason why we're fasting. We're not fasting for God to give us money. We're not fasting for God to give us a wife. We're all single, but that was not part of our prayer point. We're just saying, God, can you bring a renewal upon this community? That was the reason why we're praying. And we fasted for 1 year. And we prayed for as much as 1 year. Hallelujah. In fact, our prayer began before we now added fasting. So the prayer was more than 1 year, but the fasting was 1 year. And then the next year, we started discovering that the atmosphere that was previously thick like brass. It means there were demonic activities that were taking place in the locality, and that's why the atmosphere was like that. It was repellent. to the Holy Ghost, it was dry. After 1 year of prayer, of fasting, and all of that, the atmosphere started opening up. And some of the evidences of the opening of the atmosphere was that people that criticized our prayers started coming for the prayers. People, because we didn't have any enclosed place to pray, so we pray on the streets. Pray in tongues on the streets. So if you, people will be passing and say, see the way this person's eye is, see the way, and then the same people that are saying, see the way this person's, you see, our own Christianity was rugged. I don't know. Rugged on the street. And then the same people that criticized us started joining us. And then our numbers began to increase. Hallelujah. Then one day, in the place of prayer, an inspiration came to me. God was telling us that it was time for us to set up a crusade platform. You know, we're praying for the community. And the Holy Spirit says, set up a crusade platform. And I will begin to deliver these people. So that was God's strategy for delivering the people. See, we were praying for revival. And then God now gave us what? A strategy. So when God gave us a strategy, I shared it with the people. It was a welcome idea. Hallelujah. And unfortunately for us, the crusade only had the possibility of 3 nights. That means only 3 preachers will preach. And I was the one to select the preachers to preach. And a certain brother in that our fold, he thought he was going to make the slot of one of the preachers. But we had only 3 nights. Are you with me? And his name was not on the list of people that were going to preach. No, I'm telling you how Satan wants you. Now, we never knew that 5 of us, as we were praying in that place, Satan had a very terrible intention concerning 5 of us. And the day I said, you are going to preach. And I made up the roster of preaching people. Immediately, it was after the list came out, Satan had one of us. But we didn't know. His disappointment for not being on the list immediately made him an enemy of the crusade. But we didn't know. Satan had him. Satan was looking for a way to enter into our fold. It was a blissful fellowship. As we interceded for the land, many revelations came out. God gave insight. It was a wonderful moment. It was a privilege to be part of such a team of people that were so conscious, so burdened about the things of the kingdom of God. Until the list came out. And when the list came out and that brother's name was not on the list, and we didn't know that his heart had changed because Satan has had him. Just a little shift in the alignment will make you compatible with Satan. His remote control will be able to change a channel. I used that example of changing a channel because that was the exact picture that happened in that guy's life. He was overzealous, and then in an instant, the channel had changed because Satan was able to have him. Then we now, because it was around the time in that city where there was a religious riot, it was not safe for us to have an open air crusade. So we now sent that same brother to go to a certain church, because he's a member of that church, to ask them for permission for us to use that place for our crusade. Guess what he did? He never gave us a feedback until the day of the crusade. Then now sent us a letter that they refused. The reason for that was to ensure that the crusade never held. Meanwhile, God took advantage of his response, his late response. We had no other choice but to go open air, which was what we didn't want to do, but what God wanted to do. Do you know that when Satan eventually had this brother, Satan did not only use him against the crusade, because if that was all, it would have been okay. But as that crusade succeeded, the crusade so succeeded, in fact, I was the one preaching on the third night. And while I mounted that podium to preach, because of the security situation, they had sent police people to arrest me. I was on the podium preaching. And while I was preaching, in order for God to save his servant that was on the pulpit, a known crippled woman in the community that used to sell alcohol It's a military environment, so you know what a mess is. A mess. Police mess or officer's mess, you know that kind of stuff. She was the one that was in charge of alcohol somewhere there. So all the officers knew her. I was amazed that she was not selling the alcohol that day she came for crusade. And on that crusade ground, she rose up and began to walk. She was crippled. She was a known crippled woman. She rose up that night and she began to walk. It was her walking that the police people that were sent to arrest me saw, that they went back without me. And they went back to the people that sent them and said, "You don't arrest such a man." Meanwhile, I didn't know anything about the situation. God was just trying to pave a way for me, for him to defend me. Because if I'm arrested that day, my faith will be sifted like wheat. And God is aware of that. So he had to do something to preserve the tender juvenile faith of this young preacher that was rising. Let nothing present the suggestion that I don't have power enough to defend him. His faith will fail. Do you understand? The woman started walking. That was how revival started. That cripple that walked. That was how revival started. Do you know how many people we led to Christ? Do you know how many people we prayed for that spoke in tongues? Oh, you will not believe, but some strange people that are very strange contributed to that crusade. Because in the midst of the crusade, one of the sons of the bondwoman, a very radical bondwoman, her daughter was insane. I was preaching on the crusade ground that same last day that cripple walked. The mad lady entered the crusade ground. And when she entered the crusade ground, all the ushers ran away. You know, I don't know the place. The ushers know all the details. And the woman came straight to me on the pulpit. I was preaching. You know what she did? She gave me a dirty slap first. It's on tape. And there was an evangelist with a white suit, full of glory. That was the day I discovered that those stars that appear in cartoon when they slap people, they are living stars. The people that did those cartoons have had experiences. Living stars. I saw those. Jesus. And you know what? The ushers ran away when this woman was coming. And when the woman gave me stars, the cameraman now ran closer to capture the stars. When I recovered from the stars, I saw myself. Yeah, my pulpit was still intact. I was still here. And I knew that God had to do something. And I cried to Jesus. You know what happened? The lady was lifted up from the ground, from here, and thrown where that AC is. I know you won't believe. I mean, her legs were lifted. You know the testimony is not that she was lifted. When she landed there and eventually stood up after 1 hour, her mind came back. Those were the two notable miracles that took place. And that man, because she's a daughter of a very staunch, you can complete it. The man gave us offering in the night. Not in the daytime, he came with money in the night. So when the brother that was bent on seeing that the crusade fails now heard that the thing has exploded, that people are coming to God, you know what? You know, Satan will first have you. Then after Satan has you, then what does he do? He will now sift you. Do you know that was the road to the guy's backsliding? Because after that crusade, I didn't stay long in that city again. When I came to the city 2 years later, I tried to look for all my old brethren. At that time, was an unbeliever. He was on alcohol, on 3-3 spot, because Satan had sifted him. Satan has sifted him. Whereas people that gave their life to Christ in that crusade, they are ministers of the gospel today. The one that was denied a place to preach, he found a compatibility with the devil, and the devil changed his channel. You know why it happened like that? It was our fault. We did not pray for him. We did not ask that God grant that his faith fail not. Because Jesus, he prayed for Peter. And Peter became eventually that apostle whose shadow was able to retain the healing anointing. And he healed the sick with his shadow. Because there was one that prayed for him. I pray for you today. I pray that your faith will fail not. The prayer we forgot to pray for our brother, for which he drifted so far, that's the prayer I came with to pray for you. That in the midst of this confusion, in the midst of this situation, your faith will fail not in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said something. He said, when you are converted, because I prayed through, and I know you will be converted. So when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. If the devil has ever made an attempt to sift you before and it didn't succeed, he has lost a lot, because there's a possibility for you to teach other people about that technique. Because Satan has no access to new techniques. The same ancient techniques he uses. And so Jesus was telling Peter, he said, the day when you are converted, your experience will give you the capacity to strengthen your brethren. We have two prayer points. The first prayer point is that my faith will not fail. In this season, I will stand strong. I will stand tall. Hallelujah. And then secondly, your life will become a platform through which the faith of many other people will be strengthened. Can we pray in a minute, in a moment of time? I bring the prayer I was supposed to pray for my brother long ago. I bring it here today. And for those of you that are listening online, my prayer is that your faith will not fail. Your faith will not fail. Your faith will not fail in the name of Jesus. Anyone that is caught up by depression, caught up by utter acute depression, where you are and nothing seems to interest you anymore, is the work of the devil. I pray for you. I pray that your faith will not fail in the name of Jesus. You are going to pray that your faith will not fail. Your faith will not fail. My faith will be strong in that which God has called me to do. There's a reason for you to be equipped, strengthened. Because as God begins to lead you on, you will encounter circumstances that seem to be beyond your pay grade. But if your faith never fails, if your faith does not fail, you will gain more faith capacity. The way we increase in faith is that we use the little faith that we have. And when we see the results that faith is beginning to produce, we will begin to grow in faith. We'll begin to grow in faith. We'll begin to grow in faith. Even though Satan is going around seeking to have you, seeking to bring you to the same page with him, your faith will not fail. Your faith will not fail. Your faith will not fail. In the name of Jesus. Kaboseki labranta baboli bakadia. The Bible said, Jesus speaking, he said, if the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in the earth? The reason why Jesus is asking that question is because the devil wants to have you. The situations that are predominant currently are attempts of the devil to have us, but we refuse to stand on the same page with him. We refuse to stand in the same place with him. We refuse to be shifted. Our faith will not fail. Our faith will not fail. Our faith will not fail. I scopre hetisco falanto minas calebata. Breminso selus, aico prescofetamina cardia, amensos alla cumbre scofetamin solibate. Iscopre campalecute macaleso salacunda, ambrecosa maceta caito compre. Jaman telimon se le quebre que tusca palato. Ica mensoco brande zumaliate, esgabe zocapate cum palato,
Preskovina kilo santelia. Ebranta babose kateli mokoria. Asimo conte ese capata mukapalia. Isco preke sandono mokoria. Iso sala kumpala keskotebre. Your faith will not fail. Your faith will not fail. Your faith will not fail in the name of Jesus. For there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. For there is a spirit. For there is a spirit in man. It is the inspiration of the Almighty that giveth them understanding. Your faith will not fail in the name of Jesus. Kabosika presku vela matalikala. Rasketo kobenzo obreski fatamena kadia. Shikobre zokobranta babola kaprasketo pazali. Can we pray for our brethren? Worldwide, no one's faith will fail. That in the midst of this lockdown, it will not be an occasion of depression, but the hand of God will be working on the hearts of everybody. The hand of God will be at work on the hearts of men and women. Men and women. That even though the devil may have organized it in order for him to have a harvest of faith failure, let the faith of the people of God not fail. We banish fear. We banish fear. We banish fear. We banish fear. We banish it in the name of Jesus. We banish it in the name of Jesus. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine, for your light is come. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine, for your light is come. Your light is come. Baski sosele kemborokoma. Imborokosketa mina kaskedo bondo. Presika basketa prika banda. Prakatalia semina skobrekete. Kevose sila mantala baboria. Malabose keta mina kadia. Zeka broskete manseli. Eka panse briskopila. Iskombre. Balatos ketobrika bansala baboria. Eski, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. I have prayed. I labored in prayer that your faith fail not. And when thou hast converted, strengthen your brethren. I have prayed. I have prayed for you. I was in supplication for you that your faith fail not. Your faith will not fail. Your faith will not fail. I have prayed. I have prayed that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. For I have prayed. I have prayed. I have prayed. I kosemi kambalata. Besko bregete la kufa same. Zibro koto kopo. Sobri ala baba mahaya. Eskombre la barato meski. La bokom bregete la shikabranta babolata. Esobre la kanzelito. Presko vela liko santoria. Ika mensonzele kete. Aprisko bakunda. Abris compele caselli, abris compele compalato, is compregedela capella comba, laico samina, laico sella branda baboria, mala babasico te che prende che sila, e compresco pelato pina haila, alla panselimo, ele che schendo compre, labocondo robocoria sica masche, for Satan has desired you. Satan has desired you that he may sift you like wheat Satan has desired you that he may sift you. That he may sift you. That he may sift you like wheat. He has desired. He has desired. But I have prayed that your faith fail not. I have prayed. I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith will fail not. And when thou art converted, Kabo Sevina Kulia, Brispon Peleke Telimokoria, Parimomosiko Bresco Velaka, Parimomosanda Babori Bacadia Bresco Velato, Parimomosende de Boboria Labasata. Ika maseli kopreska, ikopreska da babola bakante, alamana basika brendo vokoria brantala, elomene sebriata babone kateliva, elenene mokoseke, labosamina, presko prentete, lakabeko pakula maseli bata, alibosalia mamara, I have prayed for you, bakosetele mokompe, that your faith fail not. That your faith fail not. That your faith fail not. Elamo morika sabu. Ambarata planta babori bakade. In the name of Jesus. What's the worst thing that can happen to the man, to a man apart from death? Did you experience a divorce? And your emotions were shattered. A dear one died. And all hope was lost. An infirmity, a sickness, is eating you up gradually. And you have wondered, is this the end? Do you know something? If your faith does not fail, because in the flesh we attain to our least potential, and in the spirit we attain to our greatest potential. If your faith does not fail, God can rewrite your story. It's just that the Bible says that he that cometh to God, the rule of coming to God, the rule of engaging God, cannot but be that you believe. As long as your faith is still alive, it means that God is still on your case. The sovereign hand of God, the predictable hand of God is still on your case. And if that is the case, then the case is not hopeless. I've seen men come out of stuff. I went to visit a brother today. I was in the office when they brought when he brought his wife, paralyzed on one side. And the unction came and I spoke. I said, this woman will use her legs and her hands again. And she was becoming blind by an attack of the devil. Hallelujah. We prayed in the office. And anytime I come for weekend, I drive to the house. I went to the house today to check again, probably to pray. The woman was walking. Yes. Using the hands, using everything, and her sight, she was seeing. You need to see her complexion. When that darkness was upon her, her complexion changed. She had regained it. I have seen men in the worst of states restored. As long as they believed what we said, you will not die. And that word stays there. If your faith does not fail, you will bounce back. I've seen that before. If you had seen this woman I'm talking about, she was hopeless. We could see the source of the attack. We could see where it was coming from. And it was within the conclave, the family conclave. And somebody wanted to use her as a sacrifice. Hallelujah. I said, no. You can't use her. The sacrifice didn't work. Hallelujah. Why? Because her faith failed not. And it doesn't matter what, where you are. The divorce shattered your possibilities. The debt
had made you a different person.
Ooh.
He said, I prayed for you. I prayed that what? That your faith will fail. Is it that you graduated from the university and you came out with a third class degree, and when you look at Nigeria, look at the economy, look at your level of competence as predicted by your output, it has entered you that you are a failure.
Oh!
It's not what determines your future is not a piece of paper. If only your feet fail not. I've seen righteous men speak about because of the bombardment. And when the media wants to fight, when you turn to CNN, you see COVID. When you go here, you see Corona. When you see 19, the bombardment has been consistent. And we have heard righteous men blaspheme just because that's the only information they have allowed into their space. What the devil wants to do in this time is to make your faith, my faith, to fail. Jesus said, I have prayed that your faith fail not. I've seen people bounce back. All kinds of situations bounce back. When I saw that lady today, even her eyes, she could see. That was someone that we hold and navigate to the office. Life had come back. As long as your faith does not fail, the sovereign hand of God can still manipulate the situation, and a new outcome will be your portion. Finally, you want to say, my faith, it shall not fail. Have the doctors given you how many days you are going to live? I came to tell you. Some of you, your story will even change by the time we are bringing this, our daily broadcast, to an end. Your blood would have been refined. Your sight would have been restored. Strength would have come upon your body. Any aspect of your body that you are losing the ability to use, it will be restored. He said, I pray. Every other thing can go down, but your faith must not fail. I prayed for that. My faith will not fail. I grow strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see, if there was anybody that would have had a logical reason for him to surrender to circumstances and situations, it was Abraham. Because God was talking about him having a child when his own natural force had died, and his wife, who was confirmed barren in her teenage age, had entered into menopause. He had logical reasons to surrender. But the Bible says he was strong in faith. He did not consider the deadness of his own body. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's a man that Satan can't control. He can't control him. Because he was doing the opposite of what Satan wanted him to do. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He didn't consider the circumstances in the fullness of time. That barren womb was revived in the fullness of time. His dead body was revived. The story of resurrection can only be told when faith is applied. Things that are dead, they come back to life just because men refuse to give up and they refuse to allow their faith to fail. My name will be written in the name of the men, among the men of faith, the list of the people of faith that walk their generation, that refuse to agree with the devil. My faith will not fail. What did you lose that has made you downcast? You don't smile from your heart because you have been made a captive of depression. Oh, if only you can allow your wings, the wings of your faith, to come out. Then you realize you can yet mount up. You can yet mount up. My faith will not fail. The things that God has been telling me, I will live long enough to see his fulfillment. I will set feet in the promised land. And I will become everything that God has promised. My faith will not fail. My faith will not fail. What do you see in your dreams? You saw yourself as a great leader,
and the circumstances seem to suggest that there's nothing of leadership around you. Oh my God, may your faith not fail. May your faith not fail. May your faith not fail. May your faith not fail in the name of Jesus. Because you are going to bounce back. Another chapter will have to be opened to tell your story. And that chapter will be titled Resurrection. For even things that have been committed to death, things that have died, they have hope that they will rise again. Just if you only believe, my faith will not fail. My faith will not fail in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what the devil is doing, going around, seeking to have you, seeking to sift you like wheat. Your faith, it will not fail. It will not fail in the name of Jesus.